So yeah, we're going to hand over now to Roland to talk about MAPA privacy. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the introduction, and thank you for coming here to the talk. And I'm talking about MAPA's privacy. This is not about the GDPR, because this would easily fill an entire talk, or even less about current law in general. There are still some GDPR work by the OSMF underway. You will see things changing in the upcoming years. I will be honest, in the upcoming years. It has been 2 years ago that the GDPR got effective, and there has not happened that much in this time. Then this work will mostly increase privacy, and mappers continue to get information about other mappers. But usually what will happen from the OSMF side is that functions now known that somehow are about mappers' data will get behind a bar that you need to log in. I document here the actual information flow. And one important thing to keep in mind, OpenStreetMap relies on accountability as in science. Accountability as to be pride of the own of the own things one has done, and not about accountability as in crime or liability, where you try to avoid to being accountable for something. This means, in particular, there's not that much checking necessary than the other way around, because there are no drastic consequences if you are just held accountable for a thing you haven't done. The hope is of this talk is that you learn to get where your data inevitably gets at and get the right idea what happens to it. I will start with one extreme case to get everybody awake. Just please read this text. I hope it's, is it big enough? Okay, I'll just read out. In response to receiving a short-term account ban from one of the members of the Our Data Working Group, you have contacted their employer and complained about supposedly illegal activity on their part. You have crossed the line by attempting to personally intimidate those who volunteer the time for OSMF. This is totally unacceptable. And what has happened here is in one extreme case. I never have heard about this, but 99% of all MAPAs are of course harmless. But in this case, it turned out to be somebody who has already been convicted about stalking and who has attacked one of the data working group members trying to do his proper work and to sort out vandalism the stalker has done. And so this is see why there is some matter in having the in getting privacy right. We all trust all the day, and we can trust that most of our fellow mappers are somewhere in the range of normal behaved people. But just in case of a thing like this, or in case your government gets totally bad, it's also not completely impossible. It's always better if they just can't do a thing because they don't have the data to do it. And for this reason, I would in general strongly suggest to use pseudonyms, which means it should be impossible to get from your OSM data to your private phone number or your private postal address. Email address depend a little bit. If you ultimately from your email address can get back to a postal address and so on, it's probably a bad idea anyway. It's just that's a little bit of clash between this pride I've mentioned before and on the other hand this one. It's just to mention it's not totally pointless. It's not just fulfilling a fancy legislation. There's really some background to this. So the general OSMF policy on this is I'm not part of the board, and even no board member could just speak for this. This is not officially announced policy, but the general policy, to give you an idea, is you need to be a mapper to see the data of other mappers. This was the basic idea about how all the functions after the work should look like. The important thing is here, this deters blatant abuses of the data. Just if a company is going to just covertly copy all of the data, they know that they are doing something unlawful. But on the other hand, you have just seen that the stalker in question would easily would have still have got all the members' data. So this is not going to be the magic silver bullet that makes every data safe, so that we have a walled garden where everything is safe inside. We do not want to make this promise. We cannot make this promise, to be honest. So yes, this is a policy that solves most of the problems, but still, you should at any point understand how your data, that the data that you add, is going to last. A very good side to get this about the general mapping activity is how did you contribute from Pascal Nice? Who in the room knows the tool? Okay, I encourage everyone else to Google for HDYC and OSM, or Pascal Nice, if this is easier to remember for you. The idea of this tool is you have to log in as an OSM user to get to can it use. This is in accordance with the policy mentioned before. And then you can ask the information about any other mapper. What I have done is I have two accounts, one for my private activity and the other for my working activity. And I have just used all the data from my working activity or just watched all the data of my working activity from my private account. So from the system's point of view, it's one mapper about a fellow mapper, but in fact, it's me about me. So I can present this data without hurting anybody's privacy. So that's a very good tool to see what's possible, what the baseline possibilities are about what happens to your mapping data. And I'll come back to this in a moment. You'll just sift through this point and then get to additional in channels. One thing you could do is the classification of edits. This is, for example, not directly in how did you contribute inside, but you can do it with Overpass API, and there are some other tools too. And what have I done here? Well, I have queried which keys, how often a key, how many objects carry a key with this value in the objects that the user drolbr underscore mdv, that's my workplace username, has touched. So I see relatively clearly there are 949 objects with carrying a key railway that I have touched. There are many other objects, or all the objects that are on the top of the list are about railways. So obviously, my workplace account is mostly busy with doing railway mapping. And you could also see that I'm not doing much about wheelchairs, because it's the first place where one tech related to this appears. And you could just get this more fine, but if you think a couple of minutes about it, it would be even more interesting to get it more coarse, to get to define for yourself categories of what you are interested in, and then group together several tags to see really just bars how much is a certain mapper is interested in one subject. And this is possible. It's also done by how did you contribute in a slightly different setting. And they look into change sets and they make a back resolvement of the objects that are touched in the change set and look in which presets, in which chosen presets, the tags of these objects are described. This looks like this, and it's only done for single change sets. But this is just an example to see what about your user data could be made. You could even combine this with this thing seen before, and you could see how your interests have evolved, and whether you had involved railways presets just in the first 3 years, and then they diminished, or whether they have been super present all over the time. Or was our wheelchair presets just have popped up in the last year, and so I couldn't credibly claim that I have been involved with wheelchair tagging much longer, and so on. But happily enough, there's no tool so far ready to do this. And at the moment, due to the structure of the database, it would require to process the full history planet dump. And that's quite a big of things, so I don't think it's happened yet, but you should keep in mind, it would be possible at any moment for any other mapper to get a detailed idea what you are interested in on subjects, concerning your mapping, and also where are about your areas of interest. And indeed, a similar thing did create some uproar. There are two sections in how did you contribute that created where people were surprised from. One is that you could figure out, this is a style that you also find in GitHub. So if you're doing commits to Git, if you work with GitHub, and similar statistic about you will be available as well. This, unfortunately, it's difficult to read on the large screen. It offers a whole calendar of the year, and it marks all the days where you actually have done something. So people could exactly see at which days of the year you have to some or much extent been active. And this one would usually set out quite clear whether you are mapping from the office or whether you're mapping from home, because in this case it's pretty obvious. If most of the mapping happens from Monday to Friday, then it's obviously happening in the office. So yes, if somebody wants, he could figure out about another mapper, when the mapper is active, what the mapper is doing, and also if the interest shifts with the day of the week, and so on. It would be always possible to combine. It's just luckily we don't know of any cases where people are doing this, but you should be prepared. The data would be ready to do so. And this goes back to, like the other data, to about 2009, when change sets were introduced. So you could track back to 2009 when what your interests were. Or probably in most cases, including me, back to the point where I joined the project, what I have done. Another thing are change set comments. The feature in itself turned out to be extremely useful. They had been introduced relatively late into OpenStreetMap. And the idea is, instead of escalating a discussion always into the entire wide community, to pinpoint the change set that is causing the problems and to attach the discussion to that change set. And that way you could see how controversial the edits of a single mapper are. This is only back possible to 2015, but mostly because the feature hasn't been implemented before, so nobody has been able to write comments before. There are also no indications that people are wanting to cut off the change sets comments later in time to limit the amount of time that you could look back for mappers. So you could make, I've even seen that this morning, but anonymized in Peter Mooney's talk, that you could make social graphs, how mappers interact, whether they are cliques that are working together, or whether they are really enemy lines fighting each other. You could all get out this all of the comment list, because it's all ready to read from the main API. This is opposed to mailing lists and, in fact, all the other communication channels. This is an example for the tech, for the talk archives. You could download the entire set of mails that ever has, the entire set of posts that ever has been written to talk. It's here, it's in this gzip text, or you could view it on the web here. And it's also, it's going back to 2004 even. So it's also, when you write something to OSM talk, it's also, it's public, or it's project public. No, in this case, it's even completely public forever. It's completely public forever in this case, because the account system here is independent of the account system of the OSM user base. Quite similar for the wiki. We have two functions here to even facilitate sorting. You could either track who has contributed to a page, or you could track which contributions somebody has made. You can also get back the entire history of a single contributor back to 2005. And it's somewhat mitigated, but I think it's more accidentally than on purpose, by that you cannot just get the dump of the wiki at the moment. I think it's mostly a technical constraint and not intended. So yes, it's ready to click. You can check it for any other mapper and yourself, of course, too. But it's not machine readable, so it cannot be mashed up with the other data. And it's still separate accounts. That's different for the forum. We have exactly which aligns up with the OSM user account and is searchable in the same way. Search for the author, search for a certain list of posts, or the people that have contributed, and doing this forever for the lifetime. And for help, OpenStreetMap, which is also based in OSM user accounts. And so there are some other systems that I have intentionally skipped, hoping to talk about the most important. To give you a summary, there's a huge block of metadata of mapping together with ChainCheck data, a huge block of metadata on top of the OSM database that allow to do a lot of extra analysis and a lot of extra intelligence on the mappers network. It's by GDPR, it's technically restricted to only purposes for the good of the project, but it's basically, it's, at the moment, it's accessible to the entire world, and the intent is to restrict it to mappers. But this doesn't mean it gets invisible. And the second large block are the communication channels, which are each separated and do not allow to interchange information directly between it. So they are, in that sense, a little bit harmless. But if I want to make a suggestion, I generally encourage you to use pseudonyms to avoid that you can, from your username, from your OSM username, track back your personal address and phone number. Because it's for the project, like mentioned, the whole thing is based on pride. So really, you want to have usernames that can build up reputation. So it's never going to vanish. Beside project inertia, and for the other communication channels, you should just keep in mind that everything you write is essentially stored forever. And the best solution, the solution that I apply, that actually had improved all my contributions to the communication channel in March, is I reread my messages before I send them, and usually I keep them if I find traces of emotions in the replies, I keep them back for some hours, up to 24 hours. So you often will see that I will answer relatively late to a discussion, but that's on purpose because I want to cool down the discussions. Usually, if you have facts, it's no problem to answer half a day later or so. But much of the things you afterwards don't want to have in the net about you happen because you answer in 5 minutes. So the general suggestion here is just reread your messages and consider sending it later to much later with the order of magnitude of 24 hours. So thank you for your attention, and I hope you have, and feel free to ask questions now.
Hey, thank you so much. So we have about 7 minutes for questions. So I'm going to run a mic on this side, and Ushia is going to run a mic on this side. So hands up over here first.
Okay, thank you. Basically, the privacy protection that only mappers can see is, well, seriously taken, it's pretty kind of soft or fake, so it does not protect any privacy in reality. So in this sense, in better sooner than later, we will definitely need something better. I don't know, maybe mandatory one-off usernames or not storing usernames at all could be a solution there. So probably it is very difficult to implement to make it securely, but just wanted to note that this kind of longer-term privacy protection solution is definitely needed, which is really kind of hiding and does not collect the data what is can be later used for years.
Thank you for the remark, but as I have mentioned, there's a lot of OSM is based on username reputation, or I would, to make it very clear, I would prefer to speak about username pride. So I don't see any approach to keep people from building up a reputation and using usernames over long times. It's just because it's so essential for the project.
There are pros and cons, and the challenges are, but in a longer term, people maybe see after 10 years that they should have been more careful. So we would need to step like one step ahead and make this private settings as default ones. And if somebody really knows what he does and takes extra steps, then he can link different edits to one username and build a reputation and these kind of things. So I think nowadays we should kind of look the other way, use private settings as defaults, make this as easy as possible, and if really somebody wants to destroy their privacy, then make it possible.
Okay, thank you.
Can't the need to log in to see other users' data be circumvented by using the show data and then history on the slippy map?
Sorry?
You can circumvent the privacy, although quite clumsily, by going onto the slippy map, putting the data layer in, and then asking for the history of something. It would be quite hard to stalk somebody with that, but...
I would like to suggest you to read the full... sorry. I'd like to suggest you to read the full OSMF concept. It's amongst the functions that would be hidden behind the login requirement. It's just it's a long list. We have essentially three different types that I don't have all in mind. One is nothing needs to be changed. One is the call in itself will still have a useful result, but the result is somehow altered. For example, if you ask for an individual object, you will see the object, but the username and the change set will be dropped from this. And some are just, you can't present meaningful data, and for that reason, you won't see, and it won't be possible to make that call without being logged in.
To what extent do you think that creating a community of human beings who communicate with each other is actually in tension with the idea of having privacy?
Excuse me, please. I have understood the conflict between building a community and privacy, but has there been more in the question? I've just missed it, so I'm sorry for this.
And I was just wondering if everybody takes all steps necessary to protect their privacy, how much do you think that gets in the way of events like these, for example? You know, people are here, we are not in wearing balaclavas, we're not protecting our privacy to the utmost extent. So clearly, human beings prefer to interact with each other not anonymously.
Well, there are many shades of gray, and there are even colors to make the world more beautiful. So I think I'm not going to give you my full private details. I'm not wearing a T-shirt with my postal address and even the less my medical data. So you can get to a conference and present a certain role. In this case, you roughly get my name, an image, and my username. And similarly, when within a project like OpenStreetMap, there will be in the long term, after the work is through with OSMF, I'm sure there can and should be discussions how we could balance between privacy and building a community. For example, one thing I would suggest this way, and would go in the idea of one-off usernames, but without making them mandatory, if we facilitate to have multiple accounts such that people are used to have, on average, a dozen accounts or so, and everybody else only sees the basically unconnected accounts. But at a later point in time, if you consider it useful, you can tell people that you own several of these accounts. You would be able to sort out different mapping activities, for example, by region or so. This might make more privacy without messing in with the community aspect, but it's a difficult thing. You have to fine-tune a lot of screws, and we have to find a way out, and as we are still busy with the basic work at the moment, I don't think this is going to happen in the next 2 years.